A few Goldilocks Bears podcast with Vincent Cloud,
John Nemitz,
Matt Hagen,
and we talk about loves and hates and indifferences, and we bring one each or one of each something, and then there's a mystery. Anytime,
I come now.
I'll just come out and say it. I love singing in the car. I, you know, when I have to drive, put on some tunes that, you know, sometimes, you know, it's always music I like, but not necessarily my favorite music, but there's specific music that's just fun to sing along with. You get stuck in traffic. It's not so bad if you have a fun activity like that. You know, like Matt brought up the Vandals a few weeks back. They're a great band to sing along to. They Might Be Giants, I have a lot of fun with. There's others, but you know, like
Katy Perry,
if she were to come onto the radio and it was a song I knew of hers, I'd sing along.
You know them all, don't lie.
Oh, actually, that gives me a deja vu. There's a from the cross genre cover songs episode, there was a European polka band called Los Colorados that did a version of whatever that Cold and Hot song is by Katy Perry. And it's pretty awesome.
All right. Well, so, okay. I'm kind of surprised though, John. I just want to jump in real quick. And this is a deja vu or bareback. You said like you had to sing in a choir when you were a child and you were like, oh, it's traumatic and stuff like that. But you're fine now? I mean, is it because you don't want to sing in front of people or you were
subject matter? I didn't mind the singing in front of people part. It was just the all the time wasted doing rehearsals and that kind of stuff.
Where you're just like, I got the song. You don't
I got this. Ready. Maybe everybody else can stay back for rehearsal, but some of us got it here.
So you were in choir like up until fifth grade or how long?
I mean, probably all through St. John's through the K through eight.
Oh, so I've been eight. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Cause I was in choir too. Sixth and seventh or eighth. Yeah. I was like eighth grade too. I'm pretty sure. So I was told I sound like Ben Stein when I sing from somebody, I forget who. that was a like good barb.
Monotone.
Like kind of like monotone apparently.
Yeah.
I think we're all going to end up singing and trying to harmonize at the end of this. We'll see.
Gosh, I hope so.
It didn't help that the lyrics were Bueller. I did. Well, that sucks. That's too bad because you know what? I sang in high school, like 3 years or was it two? I don't remember. Maybe two.
Oh, I didn't know that. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, man. Well, hey, you got to go where the ladies are, man. But why not now? Matt, did your voice change? Like, or were you always just like, do you think you have a monotone like voice or what?
I'm sure I do. I don't think I've ever heard a recording of myself singing, but.
Yeah. Did you sing that song about having dry red eyes?
I understand this reference, but I don't remember the song.
I don't think there actually is a song.
Let's see. Dry red eyes. Yeah, I know what you mean. That's a deep dig. That's from way back.
John,
what happened to Ben Stein? Whatever happened to that guy? I hope he didn't die or something. Sorry if you're still alive and I assumed you died, Ben Stein.
I think somebody won all his money and he just It's
like I gotta go back and write for Richard Nixon again.
I forgot that was a thing.
I believe he wrote I Am Not a Crook. So John, when you did sing, do you remember what you were? Were you like a tenor? Were you a soprano? Although well, I don't think you were.
I had a high child voice. So my mom was the choir director and always made me sing with the girls. which now I am suddenly remembering why it was traumatic.
Oh, that's awesome, man. Oh.
So then, like, as soon as my voice dropped a little bit, I would just try to sing the bass parts. Like, really, really reaching for the notes, even if I couldn't hit them.
That's awesome. What is it called when you're a false...
falsetto?
That's a man going into...
No. Ground, the one where you fake that your voice is deeper. It's called massive profundo or something like that. It's
pretty cool. I don't even know.
Yeah. I sang baritone. The one that's right in the middle, baby. Yeah.
See, I think I was told, like, I couldn't really do baritone much. Like, I would do bass. And then when I would try to bring it up a little bit, it was tenor. So I was never in that baritone range. I don't know. Singing wasn't my forte, but singing in the car, I'm good at that.
I wouldn't have given to be in that baritone sweet spot.
My whole life would be different, man.
But in the car though, you know, Matt, you were like, oh, I could sing better in the car. Is it like singing in the shower for you guys where like you're just uninhibited, you could just let it out and stuff like that?
Absolutely.
So even when my wife is driving with me, like I still annoy her with it. Oh yeah.
I kind of reserved, like I'll kind of hum, kind of quietly sing, but I don't belt it out like I do.
That should be something that you need to traumatize your kids with.
Go ahead.
Oh, no. I was just going to ask some more stuff. Like, John, you sing with your significant other, Matt, you do not?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Okay.
We've never duetted on a song together, if that's what you're asking. Vince, do you sing in the car? Come on.
Sure. I think that singing is one of the great pleasures in life. Even if you can't sing, everyone should do it. It feels good coming out. It's like a shit.
Yeah. Well, it's like a stress relieving shit, right?
It's out of your mouth.
Out of your mouth. Over the windshield. Vince spilling his drink all over the dash.
Again.
That's so funny. I actually spilled something in my car today. And I was like, thank God that none of this is touchscreen.
what did you spill? And what was the how did you spill?
It was this. Oh, wait. Oh, no. God. Never mind.
Perfectly clear water.
Hold it in front of your shirt. Hold it in front of your shirt.
No, it's fine. It was just a drink, and I spilt it a little bit. I don't know.
So were you holding it? And then
I knocked it over while trying to get to my beers. Yeah.
Got it. Say no more.
Okay, so, singing is fun. on a date once, I sang... A girl and I sang songs in the vehicle.
That's how much, like a fun date.
That's how much I actually enjoy singing. I really do. I it's terrific.
Was she not a keeper? Could she not sing? Did she not like the same music as you? What happened?
Oh, well, I mean, yeah, she could sing. But relationships end, Matt, or some do. I don't know if you're...
Well,
is this your first fucking girlfriend that you married? Well, like, right on the spot?
I'm just curious, you know, what you guys were singing and whatnot and how it went down.
Okay. Well, this seems a little intrusive for her,
This whole thing is intrusive.
Right. The Moulin Rouge soundtrack.
No way.
Oh, that's classic.
Isn't that full of cover songs? Speaking of cover songs.
Yeah.
Even cross genre at that.
Sure.
What is on that soundtrack? Isn't there like, do I want to say Nirvana or something?
Yeah, they're on that. Others,
Elton John,
etc.
Fucking what's that song? Roxanne by the Police. It's such an amazing album, by the way. That's a future love. Probably the movie, but all of it tied into one. Hey, that was nice. Do we slip out of John's love and into someone else's hate?
No,
volunteering for that. No,
John, do you have like a favorite song, or like you just
I'll
whatever's on
just
the playlist?
put on like a full album usually and just go through it, you know,
Do you find
whatever
that
the theme of the night.
you know all the lyrics to like certain albums that nobody
Oh,
expects?
absolutely not. Like I'll do the thing where you just say gibberish that kind of sounds like what they're saying, and it's still fun.
I've got like almost entire albums that I've heard many times that I know almost all the lyrics, but you're right. You kind of you can't quite catch what they're saying every once in a while. So it's like, yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, there's definitely some that I feel like I probably know all the lyrics and could maybe sing them without the even listening to them at this point. But you know, I'm not claiming to have flawless abilities there.
Oh, that's a shame.
But no, when you get the melody, it's a special time.
That's a special time. Red eyes, Bernstein. So I part of me really wanted to do just a whole Christmas episode. I really wanted to delve into Christmas, not just loves, but hates and indifferences, things I don't understand. But I'm gonna kind of spread it out, I think. I'm gonna do a hate today. I'm gonna do decorating for Christmas. Now, I don't have a big long spiel about this. I don't understand it. I hate it. I hate having to do it. I've been called a Grinch every single year, multiple times by my wife. I don't want to go outside and get up on a ladder and put lights up. And so far, I've never had to do that because I always resist. But I do have to spend some time outside putting some stuff up just because my wife implores me to do it. And yeah, I don't understand it from the inside to the outside. You know, if Christmas time, if that's what makes Christians happy for a month, I guess I'm all for it. That's fine. But I just don't understand the point. And there's so much electricity wasted on top of that. So I don't know how you guys feel.
So this sounds like a dad-like complaint. I'm sorry, John, but this sounds like this is stemming from you, like having like, God damn it, the kids want it. Because if I was single, if you were single, Matt Hagen, you'd be like, fuck the lights, fuck the trees, fuck the stockings, you know? You wouldn't do any of that.
There's a lot of truth to that for sure. I think it mostly stems from I'm just lazy and I don't want to do it. But I don't. I mean, if I was single, I wouldn't be celebrating Christmas. No, I mean,
When you got married before you had kids, did you guys decorate?
yes.
Okay.
Not as extensively as we do now, of course, but yes, some decorations were put up. I think you're delving into my past. Any more questions?
Does your father's religion play into it?
No, my father's religion does not. Oh, you brought that up.
Do they celebrate Christmas?
My father is a Jehovah's Witness. No, they do not celebrate Christmas. It does not play a part. I no part at all. But yeah, I mean, my dad is he doesn't go for that sort of stuff either. He's not a even before he became a Jehovah's Witness. I mean, you could call him a Grinch too, you know? So maybe it's the genes. I don't know. I don't know. Anybody else? Anybody else despise decorating or love decorating or?
Well,
I,
being
for me, it's an indifferent because, like, we just don't do it. So,
at all, nothing.
no, we have a single string of LED lights, which we have not bothered to plug in the last 2 or 3 years.
But it still hangs there. You just never plugged
Yeah.
it
Oh, yeah, obviously, it's hung immaculately.
in. That's great. I have been single now for a while now, and I don't give a fuck. Like I don't celebrate anything anymore. I am just waiting for it all to end. You know what I'm saying? but no, you know what? When you brought up decorations, I wanted to bring this one thing up. And I'm curious if anyone else does this. When I was a kid, you know, after the tree is put up and there's lights and shit, I would lie under it like I was fixing the oil or something like that and look up. That's
And just
all.
For no reason, you were just staring at all the lights or what?
From underneath, yeah, yeah. I don't know.
Under the tree, you said?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, like ours were too full of presents.
Oh boy. Dang. No,
you got
never,
me.
Never had that experience. No.
Well,
I mean, so you were just staring, or were you trying to follow the cord to see where all the lights were, or what? You're just killing time?
Yeah, choose any of those reasons. I don't know. I always felt it was a weird thing to do, but I'm like, I wonder if other kids did that. Yeah, that's all. I had to add.
I'm sure I have plenty of stuff like that. Not that specifically. I would have to think. Kind of caught me off guard, but there's plenty of dumb stuff to kill time that I did as a kid. Yeah.
When it comes to decorations, though, is what I'm getting at.
No, I never stared at decorations.
Okay. But also, though, Jehovah's Witness, Matt's never too late. Because you just said that he eventually, like, you were there when he converted. You were like, God damn it, I've headed up to here with Christianity.
Oh boy. Well, no, that's not how it went down exactly.
That's good.
Oh, I don't want to talk about this. This is bad. No. just in case my dad doesn't know what a okay, let's talk. So it wasn't really like that. I mean, my dad just, you know, found religion. Like, we weren't religious growing up at all. And my dad just found religion, and it kind of, you know, drove a wedge between him and my mom. And that's what ultimately caused them to get divorced when I was in middle school. So, yeah, it kind of made me look at religion sideways. You know, again, I wasn't religious growing up, so I really looked at religion sideways after that. But no, I don't think it has anything to do with disliking or liking Christmas or anything like that.
John, you grew up religious, didn't you? Or
yes, very much so.
Well,
are you still now? I mean, no, not at all anymore. And I don't know. For me, it probably does have something to do with it, because, like, I don't, like, you know, for growing up, it was very much stressed in my household that, you know, the reason for Christmas and everything is to celebrate Jesus and all that. So then after not really being religious anymore, then I never really picked up the secular reasons for enjoying Christmas, I guess.
Okay, so my indifference, are the Boston Dynamics robots, man.
Oh, no.
I know, after I said that, I was like, oh shit, Matt did say sometimes we have to study this stuff. But my indifference always comes to me late, like in a dream, you know, like a couple hours before the show starts, right? Yeah, in a way. But hey, you see those videos, fucking robots moving, not like the traditional boxy robots at all. They're like walking around. You can shove them and they'll catch themselves, and, you know, they could flip and all this crazy ass shit they could do. And it looks so fucking fake. So you guys take.
I honestly don't know what this is. So, John.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I've been following these guys for years. And like, I guess I was waiting to see where you were going with it. I assume
I really didn't go anywhere with it.
Okay. So
it's true.
The good of them is, like, it's pretty freaking cool robot technology. Like, they have like four-legged dog-like things. And yeah, like the videos are just them like abusing these robots, like trying to knock them over, like smacking them around with like hockey sticks and stuff. Of course, the dark side of it is they're just going to be used as like police dogs to like hunt us down and pin us in to our houses and stuff. But the tech is cool. There's like literally a Black Mirror episode that it's like pretty much those Boston Dynamics dogs.
Wow.
Nice. Now I know exactly what you're talking about, because yes, I do know that Black Mirror episode. Yeah, now that you kind of describe it a little bit more, I have seen some videos of people abusing robots and such, diddling them in various ways.
There's a pretty good video. You know who Michael Reeves is, the YouTuber?
No.
He does like a lot of robotic stuff, and he basically created a thing where he had one of those dog robots from them, and he built like a system where it could, I don't remember if you put a full keg on the back of it, but anyway, it could like pee beer into a cup based on like finding it with the camera
and then his leg
on top of it. Yeah, that's worth checking out for sure.
Oh wow.
So these ideas, they're leading somewhere, right? Like we're just, the whole idea is just making robotics better and better and better by putting them through various tests and having fun with it, right? Is that the whole idea?
Yeah, I mean, like the what these things specifically seem good at are traversing terrain that like a wheeled remote control thing could not really get through. Like they can climb stairs and like just get over like rocky areas and all that kind of stuff. So they're really figuring out the two or four-legged mobility aspect of robotics.
Yeah. Sidebar, I just had a random thought. Like I read some article about the San Francisco Police Department wanting to get more involved in robotics, but then there was a bunch of pushback. I forget specifics on it. Did anybody else hear anything about that?
No.
Like it was dangerous, like really, really dangerous what they were thinking about doing. I don't know. That's kind of a blank spot, but I seem to remember something in the past couple of weeks about that.
Yeah, we should look into it. It might have been these specific ones.
Yeah, that's what made me think of it.
Yeah.
Okay, so I don't know. I kind of just presented it, but I was, you know, the thing is that how terrifying it would be, you know, because I don't know. It's the uncanny valley. It looks really weird. And of course, it's always them getting abused, shoved around and stuff. And for me, I'm like, you know, it looks so lifelike, and I feel bad for the robots when they're being thrown about and stuff. And I'm like, stop it. It's not alive. You know what I mean? But the way it like will lift itself up, or when it like stumbles, it's too fucking weird looking. And I don't want to see that shit years later when we are getting, you know, hunted down, and I shove him and he he's like, oh, the memories, you know.
So that makes me think of a couple things. First of all, I remember when Furbies came out, and like, don't they get upset if you like hold them upside down or something?
Whoa.
Yeah. So like they did studies, and they found like, you know, like children actually feel like emotional discomfort when told to like, you know, basically hold a Furby upside down and like just not like, you know, give in and flip it over again.
Wow.
The second thing, and this might be too much of a tangent, but have you heard of the thought experiment called like, it's like Rocco's Basilisk or something like that? Basically, the idea is that someday, inevitably, there will be like a global AI that runs everything, and it's going to punish anyone who tried to stand in its way and reward anyone who like helped bring about its existence. So, and like, you know, like then the idea being it can look back at all records and everything and see where people stood on AI, and yeah.
It's like, look up the podcast if you holy shit.
So, you know, if you want to get anything on the record about how you're pro global.
Well, that's exactly what an AI would do, right? I mean, it would have to link you to your profile in some way, but that's probably not that difficult. But and then all the Christians will be saying, well, this is God came in a different form, right? So sinners repent.
Holy shit. Okay, so, but AI, Chat GPT, or is that what it is? Is that the letters?
I do want to bring that topic up at some point, but
Yeah,
we
for
can do it
some
now.
reason, well, it was too big for me. I was like, but I was like, okay, I know, I understand robots walking around and shit like that. So, but have those two met yet? Or are scientists make sure, like, we make sure they're not even in the same state, you know?
There is no
So,
control over any of this. Go ahead.
like what we call like the leading edge AI right now is really like a discipline called machine learning, which is basically you just teach like this model with like just a ton of input data, like thousands and thousands and thousands of like pictures or millions of lines of text or whatever
Billions.
you're trying to train it on. And basically it's like just at random, you flip a bunch of different knobs and levers and stuff, and you just see what combination of settings ends up giving the best predictions or like the best output. And then that's your model. So then the idea is that when it gets new data, it's going to treat it the same as the old data, but like kind of be able to give output that's relevant to that data.
How do you know
So
what the best output is, though? How do you
you
know what
don't,
the
you just, it's trial and error. So you just like basically, try a million different things and you keep one that did the best.
Yeah, but somebody's gotta, what determines which one's the best?
Oh, so basically, like your input data that you train it with, the value. So, like this is an orange, this is a hot dog, whatever. And
So
then
there's humans that are saying that there's humans determining right and wrong in this
in the
scenario.
beginning, yeah.
Yeah.
And
Okay.
then as you go along, you can feed in like the things it got right and the things that it got wrong into further training sessions to tune it. But in the end, like nobody knows, including like the program itself, how it arrived at the decision that it arrived at for any specific case. So that type of technology is used very much by like self-driving cars and stuff to like identify stop signs and speed limits and all that stuff. So like when you get the CAPTCHA and you're like, oh, help me find all the traffic lights, like you're literally like helping train the next version of their
Whoa.
ML model.
Is that right? Is that right? Okay. Holy
I don't
cats,
know
I
if
never
this
even
is an
thought of
indifference to me anymore.
that. We can
Wow.
have a much bigger chat GPT discussion some, but that was really good. I've never heard it described in those ways or how you even start along this line of thinking. So that was good. Good explanation.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and then of course, if Vince, if you want to share on the social media these cool logos that the
Oh,
crayon came up with for us. I mean,
yeah. So that's kind of like not quite chat bot, I'll call them AI, but like another little thing, because that's I'm seeing so much more of that now. AI art, yeah.
yep. Or like music, like here's all of Beethoven's work. Hey, why don't you come up with a new original work of Beethoven, basically?
What?
Yeah.
Wow. I haven't heard that. I don't know. I for some reason I get the sh you know I shudder. It's yeah, it is freaky. Are you scared, Matt? Are you scared, John? Or are you guys just like five words?
So I guess it all depends on the application when they start using it for like the legal system, like who to come and arrest, what kind of sentences to give out, like all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Like everyone's going to claim like, oh, this is like a neutral thing, like it's what the algorithm tells you or whatever, but it's all trained on biased data, so whatever biases we've been using in the past are gonna continue with that unless we, start completely from scratch.
Wow. Oh, and yeah, and that's happening. Someone's going to let them represent them in court, an AI. for like a traffic violation or something like that. But still, like, that is freaky as shit. What about you, Matt? Do you give a damn?
I give a damn. It's just everything is in its infancy. Although you know, stuff like this has been worked on for decades and decades, but it's all still in its infancy. It's a little bit scary, you know. And you know, there's never, well, Pandora's box was referenced a couple times last episode. I mean, we've opened up Pandora's box. There's no going back. And there's money to be made, man. Money to be made. And it's always faster and more intelligent and capitalism. Somebody's going to have to beat somebody else out. So things could spiral, but we're living in interesting times.
My hate, because I think we did indifferent and a love already. Mine is the concept of a physical book. I'm a pretty avid reader. And as soon as like e-ink technology was invented, so you can like read on a device that's not a backlit screen, you know, like not like a phone screen, not like a tablet screen, but kind of like reading on paper. I just never want to have to deal with an actual book again. Like they're kind of heavy. If you're like, you know, laying in bed reading, they're only one book. So like, if you're holding a book, it's only that book.
What is
you have to carry? Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I just wanted to say, I'm not familiar with the e-ink term. I guess I don't have a device like that. What is that exactly?
So it's basically like, kind of like an Etch-a-Sketch. So if you think of like, if you had an Etch-a-Sketch that could write a page of a book, that's essentially what that technology looks like.
And then do you have to shake it up and then it'll go to the next page, or how does that work?
Yeah, you do. And then you have to like turn the knobs and draw whatever you want.
You actually have to write the book. You're like, fuck.
Yeah.
You know, John, it's so funny because I was going in here thinking that because we share at least our loves and hates with each other before we do this. So when John was like, physical books, I'm like, it's got to be about the environment. No, not at all. He's like, they're heavy. They're really heavy, guys. Paper cuts.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the many points I was going to get to, yes.
Yeah, I kind of cut him off at one point, just like I cut him off there. So, yeah, the environment, definitely agree with
that.
Better
to have a discussion, but yeah. Definitely my convenience, number one, then also the environment, yeah.
So, the
one I have, you can like, if there's a word you don't know, you can like move a cursor to it and select it and it'll like give you a dictionary definition. I've been reading an actual book and there was like a word I didn't know. And I'm just kind of like looking at it, like thinking that somehow it's like going to magically tell me the definition, just because I've become so accustomed to that as well.
That's cool. So how are people going to know how learned you are though, if you don't have shelves full of books around your house? Like, I don't understand that.
You know, that's a good point.
And also, John, have you considered the loss of pop-up books? I mean, I think you're being kind of selfish here.
That is true. There are certain specific books that just work better as like a physical form.
Well, having kids, I mean, it's nice to have a cabinet full of books and the kids can just go grab books, you know, when it's time to read at the end of the night. So kids' books, I definitely think should not disappear, but otherwise I kind of agree.
John, do they have kids' book? Like, could I ring up Where the Wild Things Are on my little ink, letter ink thing?
You could, but it is monochrome. So you would definitely be losing that aspect. So yeah, definitely kids' books and like heavily color illustrated books is a use case that would suffer.
So this is a very selfish hate of yours. Cucumbers, I'm like, hey, if you just don't like the taste, you don't like the taste. But physical books, you fucking Nazi. You're like, burn all the books.
I didn't even think of that.
Burn so you're like, John, how many books do you want? And you're like, nine. Nine books.
That's to me. What the heck? What's my indifference this week? I'm going to do that. Okay, just something I want to talk about. It's not really an indifference at all, but it just kind of blows my mind the way, for instance, someone can solve a Rubik's Cube in a matter of seconds, or somebody is so good at an Etch-a-Sketch that they can draw incredible things out of an Etch-a-Sketch. And, well, going back to the Rubik's Cube thing, I've actually seen a video, like, how do people solve this within seconds? And I've seen a couple of YouTube videos, not that I'm even going to try to solve this thing, but I just want to see what the hell's the theory behind this. I feel like I understand the core concept, but I don't understand how somebody could look at a Rubik's Cube and figure this out. So there's just unknown things that people are super ridiculously good at that I have no comprehension of how they can do it. Go ahead. Any comments?
I just like the fact that this is a clear reaction to the very heavy subject matter of the previous episode.
No, I wasn't thinking about that at all, actually. But
what about that Rubik's Cube? Actually, I thought that that's been not debunked, but like basically there's a formula to it. Like as soon as...
Yeah, for sure. Like I used to be able to solve a Rubik's Cube in, you know, minutes.
Nice.
And I can't anymore because I forgot all the algorithms. But yeah, it was basically like I would do like the top side just, you know, through my brain. And then after that, it's like, okay, well, if you want to move this color here, go through this pattern and it'll get there without messing anything else up. And you just kind of keep going through all those patterns till it's completely solved. So, and then, yeah, it is funny though, like with the really fast people, it's like, oh yeah, you got to get like this brand of Rubik's Cube because it glides easier. Like the mechanics of the cube start to become the limiting factor.
That's crazy. And there's like contests, right? Like at least back in the day.
Yeah.
John, you could have went in there. I feel like you're so talented, John. Well, like you don't believe in yourself.
This is a whole other thing where, like, I love being like a jack of all trades, but I never want to like dedicate the time to get great at anything. Like, I like really like, okay, I know enough to like do this thing poorly. Let's move on to the next thing. I was thinking that like with speed running too, it's like the people who like, I'm going to just play this game 8 hours a day for years and like become number one at it. And I'm like, cool, but I want to play other games or do other things.
It's kind of, I don't know, going back to dodgeball. I mean, what if they're like, dude, you think you could just hop on this thing without years and years of dodgeball?
Yeah. Is that part of like, you always hear addictive personality. Is that an addictive personality? Just finding something that you're good at and just repeating it until you're great at it, like a world-class person and it could be anything. I think there's maybe something to that.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely takes a certain kind of personality. I'd struggle to use the word addictive because that usually, like, addiction usually implies it's like somehow hurting you. And
well, I think addictive can be applied here because you find this addictive, whatever it is, you find it addictive. But yeah, I mean, usually it has its negative connotations, gambling or drinking or whatever. But I've never thought of it in those terms. So
yeah.
Didn't the AI say, like, you know, "It is what it is" implies that there's a lack of ambition to change anything.
Yeah.
And to truly apply yourself.
Well, not that there's a lack of ambition, but you perceive that there's no reason to even discuss or attempt to change anything because there's no change in it. It's impossible.
Oh, man.
Which is that right or wrong? I don't know.
For the listener, we asked ChatGPT about the phrase "it is what it is" earlier, and it had some opinions.
Yeah, it actually wrote dialogue for us between Matt and I and John. John's,
I see both sides.
I see both sides.
That's great.
That's all you had to say. I see both sides.
Okay, well, let's get back to the
whole let's get back
thing.
you started that. I don't know why you did that.
You were like, I'm not even indifferent. I just, what else though, besides the Rubik's Cube, did you?
Oh, example? I said Etch-a-Sketch came to mind, like how somebody can coordinate both their hands to actually be good at drawing with an Etch-a-Sketch. That is an actual thing. I've seen it. I don't know what else off the top of my head, but just certain things just kind of boggles my mind as to how you would get so good at it and why would you get so good at it. And I think it does come to that certain personality, but I've never had any interest in trying to get super good at something as trivial as the Etch-a-Sketch, you know.
So do you find like becoming super good at drawing on the Etch-a-Sketch more trivial than becoming like the best 400 meter runner in the world?
That's a good question. I don't know. I'd have to put some more thought into that, but I think it's more accepted in society to be fast and be good at the 400 meter, you know. Mm-hmm. There is more accepted competitions for such a thing and such, but I don't know. That's a good question. I don't have an answer for you.
I would love
but,
that.
But they're like... you're right. It does kind of fit in the same category. You're right though.
I would love it if they're like, that's Usain Bolt. Like, who? The Rubik's Cube champion. Well, the other thing, okay, Matt, you, this brings up possibly a whole nother topic for later. How do you feel about the Guinness Book of World Records then?
That's okay. Good one. That is a really good one because that's full of all of this type of stuff, right? I think it's a cool novelty, and to get yourself into the Guinness Book of World Records, I think that would be an incredible accomplishment, but I've never had a desire to read that book. Or is it even a book? I don't know. Do they put one out every year?
And like some of them are like, they're not necessarily even skills or accomplishments. It's like, you're willing to put up with something for the longest, like the guy with the longest fingernails and like that kind of stuff. Like,
smashing 500 walnuts with your forehead in under a minute or something like that. You're like, what?
Or just something stupid like somebody made the largest pepperoni pizza in the world. Well, I'm gonna make the largest pineapple pizza in the world. I'm gonna get into the book, you know. It's just dumb stuff.
It wouldn't sell. Guinness are like, people don't like pineapple.
It's very controversial.
Yeah.
Actually, going back to your question, John, because I did want to put a little more thought into that. I think doing the 400 meter, I think I would do that first because you get exercise. There's some sort of benefit to doing the 400 meter as opposed to the Rubik's Cube or whatever else you want to put in there. So if I was forced to do one or the other, it would be the 400 meter.
Wow. Okay.
I'll take the cube.
I'd do the sketch.
Sketch.
I'd make some art for my sweetie.
For your sweetie? All right. Yeah. And then she would shake it and it's gone. Oh. I wonder if there's some way you can lock an Etch-a-Sketch. Like these people that are really good, there's some sort of locking mechanism so that you can't shake it and it disappears.
Oh, I bet. Like just like disassemble the knobs or something. Oh, yeah, but no, it's shaking it. Yeah, you're right. I don't know.
That's like when you glue your puzzle together after completing it.
I was thinking the exact same thing. Yes.
Isn't there like a Buddhist art form, like where they do like the sand mandalas or whatever they're called? where you basically like put different colors, pieces of sand in like a pattern, and like the whole point is you just immediately like mix it up at the end.
Yeah. Holy shit. That's crazy.
What is the point of that?
So wait, that's the opposite then. I wonder how those Buddhists feel about the glued together jigsaw puzzle.
I bet they're not fans.
They're like, get that shit out of my fucking face. I know where
you're attachment, peaceful. Right?
Yeah, that's true. Holy shit. Oh my god, my love, guys. Okay, so it's just a great way to just squeeze in a little UFC at you guys, because that's like my thing. If I could have a whole podcast about it, I would. But I want to talk about what just happened maybe a couple of weeks ago, where the champion, Israel Adesanya, the Last Stylebender, was defeated by Alex Pereira, also known as Hands of Stone. And what's interesting about it is that the champion has been champion for a number of years now, and he's just dominant, but he's also boring. He basically came up with a lot of feints and just being very elusive in the cage, and so he wouldn't be knocking anyone out. He's just kind of point fighting him. You know, he's winning it on the scorecards. So every time this happens, everyone's like, "Oh, fucking! What about that Alex Pereira guy? The guy who defeated him twice back in kickboxing, won on the scorecards, and the second time by knocking him out." So, like, even when Adesanya became champion years ago, the first thing he said is like, "Now everyone's going to be talking about Alex, and like, oh, he was the last guy to defeat me, right?" But that would just build and build until recently. Alex Pereira has been in the UFC not even three fights in. That's basically 1 year of fights. And they fast-tracked him to the championship just because of the history between the two. And so when Alex Pereira defeated him for the third time, it's been great. There's memes where, because they're like, you know, Alex beat him in kickboxing, so Adesanya moved to MMA. So the meme is that he's like, okay, now I'm into golf. And then they show a picture of Alex Pereira with, like, you know, dressed up like a caddy. And then, like, just a couple of days ago, Adesanya was pulled over and arrested, some weird mistake. But then the memes was of Alex with, you know, an orange jumpsuit going into prison to follow him into the shower. So I don't know. it's really fascinating. Just that story of just like, this guy is going to beat him wherever he goes, no matter what. It's, I don't know. I thought it was interesting. It's my only way to get you guys to like, UFC, you say.
I like I like the backstory to all of that. Yes, it does feel very Shakespearean or something, you know, in a way. I do not pay attention to UFC. Last UFC fight I actually watched would have been a number of years ago, Buffalo Wild Wings with a bunch of people. Remember Jim Jones, John Jones, Jim Jones, I think. he did this finishing move, this kick. He kicked the dude in the face and he knocked him out. But the best part was he had Jim Jones had Steven Seagal in his corner. And Steven Seagal afterwards went on this whole thing, like, I taught him that move, and it was really, really funny and comical. But fuck Steven Seagal. But no, I don't pay attention to UFC, but I like the story you just told.
John?
Yeah, my coworkers years ago used to be super into UFC, so I tried to get into it a bit, and I just didn't care.
You were like, I keep losing these fights. I'm not into it.
Yeah. I mean, I showed up, I weighed in, and yeah, I don't know.
I agree. I don't care as well. And even if you told that story, you did tell that story, but you told that story so well, and I still don't care, Vince. I don't care.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. But like, I will say though that That's the only sport I'm into. I really don't get into sports. I will tolerate it like a fucking girlfriend or wife. I'll watch football, you know what I mean? I'm like, oh, go, who's, you know, like I really, you know, I'm reading the enthusiasm of whoever I'm with. I'm like, yeah, oh, now we're mad. You know. But I get fighting mostly because, hey man, I fought a couple of times. A lot of people don't like me, so I had to defend myself over the years. So, and I feel like I've had more field time fighting than I did when I was in football in high school. So,
I heard
UFC.
you've never been in a fight and lost.
Who said that?
Technically, if anything, they were TKOs, so technical knockouts, where the ref is like, I've seen enough. And I'm like, I'm still on my feet. Yeah. Moving on.
Except the ref was your third grade teacher.
She was actually, do you remember Mrs. Bry? She was like outside in the recess.
Yes.
She actually broke up one of my fights with Josh Haynes.
Josh Haynes.
So there you go. One of those Haynes boys, anyways.
Josh H. Josh H.
Yeah.
Yes, that was another blast from the past. Yes, I remember both of those people. Way to go,
Yes.
Vince.
My indifference is public speaking. I don't really mind it. I don't get off on it like some people
Ooh.
do.
Splat.
But I've with my job at work, I have to like do trainings and presentations and stuff, and sometimes I have to like give a presentation to multiple hundreds of people, and it's fine. Like I don't necessarily look forward to it, but I don't necessarily dread it either, I guess. I don't know. It's just kind of a the only reason I bring it up because I know like for a lot of people it's like their biggest fear is public speaking, and yeah, it's just kind of
Do
whatever.
you feel more powerful after you give a good quality presentation? Do you feel great about yourself?
If there's like good feedback and stuff and people are participating and it seems like it was useful, I feel good about that, yeah.
Do you think people look at you differently after you give a good presentation? Does that make you feel good?
I feel like there's those in my company who see me as sort of a god figure.
Well, that's good. At least you're humble about it. I go
Yeah,
ahead,
go on.
Vince. Go ahead. Yeah, that
Oh,
you go. No, you go.
okay.
You.
I insist.
All right, I'll go. So I'm pretty indifferent to public speaking. I
Oh, this
really
was worth it. I was gonna go another direction.
What? Okay, John's indifference. I am also indifferent. I haven't had that many opportunities to do public speaking. I had a work presentation a few years ago, which kind of a little nerve-wracking and whatnot, but it went pretty well. And then, I did the best man speech at my brother's wedding. But I think that's the only two times I've done it in the past handful of years. So I don't do it very often. It is somewhat nerve-wracking, but I think once you get the first couple sentences out, I think it's all pretty good. And once you're done with it, there is a that sense of relief is nice. Like I don't have to worry about that speech anymore. And I've gotten pretty decent feedback whenever I've had the opportunities. So I still would prefer not to do it, but I'm kind of indifferent to it.
I think basically it helps with the three of us because we were little not class clowns but something similar to that where we were joking around and I think part of that means that you want some sort of attention and so I think that's why we're probably like all three of us are in fact indifferent to it I don't think I've like taught. Where you have to like teach the class in high school. I did that. And that's like the closest, most like, this is an hour long sort of thing. So, you know, that sort of thing.
Do you remember who your author was in Mrs. Thurber's class?
Yeah. Thurber, whatever that. Yeah. And actually that might be a future topic, actually.
Oh,
I have some thoughts about that. Fucking hated him.
Tapakata, but that guy.
Yeah, exactly. Were you in that class, John?
I was in one of them. I don't remember if I was in yours or not.
Matt, were you in mine?
I don't remember if I was in your class. No, I don't remember.
But I mean, okay, so we were, you know, funny in classes and shit. So I feel like that's a little bit ego there. And
speak for yourself.
We made skits, you know, and we did things where we had to perform before, like singing. So that's a little bit, that kind of edges you towards public speaking.
Oh, it's so edging me right now.
Yes. So I think that's why we're kind of okay with it. It's not something we're going to run towards, but yeah.
Yeah, you're probably right. I remember, so you just brought up the, what grade was it that we did? We had to teach the class. I think it was 10th grade, sophomore year. That sounds right. But I remember in my class, I was the first one that had to do it. I drew the short straw, I guess. So I had like 2 weeks to prepare this presentation or whatever it happened to be. But I was the first one, and I was really nervous about that because I was kind of the guinea pig. You know, kind of whatever you end up doing, other people will maybe kind of follow your lead, essentially. So I was just, I remember that's the most I ever studied in high school ever was trying to do this presentation because I had to talk for an hour or present for an hour in front of the class. And I knew nothing about the author. I forget the author I even did. But yeah, you brought back terrible memories, Vince.
John, did you do that as well in Miss Gershner's or whatever her name was?
Yeah.
Gershner?
James Michener was my author.
I had a Chinese author, but I can't remember his name.
Neat.
Do you guys remember that? I don't know who introduced it. Maybe it was Matt. But someone went first and they had candy with them?
That was not me.
And then, like, whoever would get a question right, they would just, like, toss them a piece of candy, and, like, everyone did that and stuff. Well, I turned it on its head when it was my turn.
Oh, no.
Every time I was like, so who could name me James Thurber's third wife or something like that? And they're like, oh, that was Priscilla, his inspiration. I'm like, awesome. They take the candy, unwrap it, and I eat it. I'm like, oh, it's good.
Public speaking.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was thinking of when you asked, it is weird, like being someone who gives a bunch of presentations at work, how like people will know me, but you know, they were just another face in the crowd. So like people come up to me and like then I feel bad for not knowing them or whatever. And like that's kind of awkward.
I feel that all day, every day. Well, not all day, every day, but I get that a lot. Like I that's an awkward thing. That's a different topic, right? That's I should know you and I should know your name, but I don't. So I'm not going to try.
It's hilarious because you work at home.
Well, you know, I mean, you're at a party or a wedding or something, you're supposed to know everybody's name or most people's name. And I'm terrible with names.
Yeah,
me too, but with faces.
No, okay.
So wait, all three of us are like this? Because I get approached by cousins who I haven't seen since I was like 5 years old. And I'll be like, you know, I'm like fucking 38 right now. And they're like, Vince? And I'm like, what? They just like remember me or they know me. And I'm like, I have no fucking idea. So I don't know. But that
my wife like is amazing with faces, where we'll be like at the store or something. And she'll be like, oh, look who that is. And I'm like, I don't know. She's like, you know, you worked with Jeff 12 years ago. And he brought his brother came along to a work outing one time. Like, that's his brother. Like, oh, okay. Wow.
That was pretty good. Pretty good.
Well, actually, I do remember faces. I think the family thing is just because I don't. They all live in like Green Bay or something like that. They all live somewhere else. But if I run into them, I mean, I won't know them, but they will just remember me instantly. It's crazy. But outside of that, though, I am a face man. One of the coolest things.
I can tell.
As opposed to the ass man.
Yeah.
So maybe
I left that in my past, actually, behind me. Yeah.
Maybe these cousins just talk about you behind your back. So maybe you're just a topic of conversation. You come up every so often, once a year at some sort of family gathering. Like, oh, yeah, I remember Vince. What a jerk off that guy was. So
it's all possible, man. I'm not going to rule anything out.
My love is. Well, first off, let me say my love, it would naturally go into John's indifference. So I think that's the direction we want to go. But my love is Batman, as in any form of Batman, although I do not read, I've never read the comic books, but apparently there's a hell of a lot of comic books with a rich history and all kinds of insane villains, Condiment Man and other things. But Condiment Man, etc. So we had talked about Marvel, the MCU, and how we're all indifferent to it. I think we're all very indifferent to the whole superhero thing that's going on. But I always come back to Batman, and I never miss Batman, standalone Batman. There's just something incredibly intriguing about Batman and about Joker and about the darkness, the grittiness of Batman. I always enjoy the Batman movies. Lego Batman is one of the best Batman movies. I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it exactly, but I love Batman and I will always come back to Batman. You guys?
I like the, I like a lot of Batman. The 66 Adam West. They say it's, you know, cheesy or whatever, but I'm like, okay, yes. They knew it too. They played into that. And then, you know, the movies. I don't know. I like Batman so much that as soon as they kept on churning out Batman movies, I'm like, okay, that's enough. You know, like, let me still live and digest the, you know, the last one. So I didn't watch Ben Affleck. I didn't watch Robert Pattinson because I'm like, I'm still taking in Christian Bale up the ass. Yeah.
Well,
for real, you were really trying to process Christian Bale still at that point? Is that what you're saying?
It's the same with Spider-Man. You know, like I was like, no, Tobey Maguire is Spider-Man. And then comes Garfield and I'm like, I watched him. I liked it. But I was like, yeah, what about Toby, you know, and then what's his name came out, and I'm like, eh. I think it's kind of like I have a favorite food, but I barely eat it because I want to cherish it every time. If that makes any sense.
What is that food?
Or is that just tell you?
You're gonna force feed it to him.
Listen.
Like they're force feeding us Batman.
I'll say I did not see the Ben Affleck Batman. I think, but that was he didn't have his own standalone movie though. That was DC
Batman the Superman.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, I never saw that one. So I've definitely enjoyed the Batman movies I've seen, but I never sought them out. In fact, like I never even watched the Tim Burton Batmans until like a year ago when I was going through his entire filmography, and I definitely enjoyed them. I thought they were both really good, but I don't know if I definitely like Batman movies and stuff. I don't know if I go so far as to say I love them, but they, like the Nolan ones were really good and the Burton ones were really good, and I guess I haven't seen any of the other ones.
Yeah, there's just, you know, I'm trying to figure out what exactly it is. You know, he's a billionaire. Billionaires are bad. Boo. His His family dies. He has mental psychosis. He has like some breakdowns sometimes. He imagines bats. He has, I think it's pretty much canon that he has like a social anxiety type of stuff. And whether that's related to his parents dying or not, it feels like we, and I think maybe part of it too is he sort of a standalone. You know, you enter Robin occasionally and maybe he joins the Justice League or whatever. But no, I think the standalone Batman, he's like this vigilante, and he really is a standalone Batman. It's just this one man fighting crime. And he even has the police going against him, unless Commissioner Gordon is there to break shit up. But I don't know. There's something about that vigilante justice. And I think I can identify with this dude. And he is self-made. He's got his gadgets, but he does not have superpowers. There's no superpowers here.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Do you think that works to his advantage for you being a fan that there are no superpowers and it's just like...
I think so.
Technology, and then just like fighting prowess.
Yes. Like Superman is the worst superhero ever. All time. I'm going to say it. Come at me. You have to invent some sort of Krypton thing from his home planet that weakens him. I mean, come on. I mean, Superman is boring and he sucks and I hate him. There's no conflict. Batman is the opposite. Yes.
I really enjoyed the animated series. Did you watch that growing up?
I did. I saw like the first season or two within the past year or so, and they don't hold up as well as when I was a kid, but yes, I enjoyed them too. There's some good stuff there. Including
NES Batman game.
I don't think I played that.
Sorry, go ahead. What were you going to say?
I forgot what I was going to say, but I played Arkham Asylum and one of the other ones, one of the newer Batmans. Those are a lot of fun. Those are a load of fun. What the hell was I going to say? Yeah, lost
who,
it.
Who captures the Batman essence in their performance the best, you think?
Oh, such a big question, huh? Michael Keaton is good. I like Michael Keaton quite a bit.
I think he might have been the more effortlessly darker Batman than Bale's, who's like, you know, like that sort of thing. I don't know. Bale, I just got to say this. I don't like him unless he's playing an actor, because I'm so aware that he's doing a performance. So that's why Batman kind of works, or the Bruce Wayne kind of works, because he's not really Bruce Wayne. But like any other movie with that guy in, I'm like, you're an actor, you're acting, good for you. Unless it's like American Psycho, where he's pretending to be a human. Like that, that was the role he was meant to play, right? Mm. Other than that, I'm like, oh, Christian Bale, dude. Come on, man.
Well, I think I'm a much bigger fan of Christian Bale than you are, apparently. I don't think I've ever seen a bad performance out of Christian Bale. But we're saying boils down to, you feel like he's acting. Is that what you're saying? You feel like he's being too showy?
Yes. Okay. Oh my gosh. This kind of ties into the Mystic River, Sean Penn sort of thing, where I'm like, he's doing these things that are good, but there's nothing original. He doesn't have a voice in them. You know, you could cry. People can cry, but you have to have a, put yourself into something. And I feel like Christian Bale doesn't do that. He's kind of like, I don't know. I can't describe it. Maybe that's a future thing, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm.
All right. Oh, all right. Oh,
but
I think
Batman,
Michael Keaton did a great job, or at least was very interested in bringing like the mental health aspects into the character. Maybe more so than, I mean, I haven't seen all the performances, but
Pattinson goes full emo.
Okay.
but yeah, I think Pattinson, he's troubled. You can tell he's he's troubled. He's got that brooding emo thing going on. But yeah, I don't know. I think Pattinson's maybe the weakest one. Besides, again, I haven't seen Affleck, so I don't know. I don't know for sure. But I would agree with that in general. Yeah.
Ah, man. What else? There's another Batman.
Huh? I even love Joker, the standalone Joker, Joaquin Phoenix. That got some hate out there, but I even love that. And it, when it comes right down to it, it didn't even need to be tied into the Batman universe for it to be a great movie, in my opinion.
Mm. Oh, so you're saying like not just the character, but like the whole everything that comes with it, the rogue gallery of villains and shit like that.
It might just be a total coincidence that I love Joker and it's just part of the Batman universe. I don't know for sure, but yeah, something about Joker just every scene was doing something unique, and the cinematography and the sound and the score and the whole damn thing just worked. And Joaquin Phoenix was great. So I think it was more a coincidence that, you know, I wasn't at a certain point, I'm not even thinking about Batman anymore. It's not like, oh, was that supposed to be Bruce Wayne? It's kind of like after the fact that I'm kind of picking up on certain things about the Batman universe. So I think it's more coincidence.
You know what I hate? Fucking strip
probably
clubs.
Me, right? Strip clubs. Go on.
Okay, so and I can state it as simply as this. I don't pay to see that shit, all right? I deserve it. I get it through dates and stuff. And of course, guys are like, yeah, well, aren't you paying that way? You know, you got to pay for the meal, you know? And I'm like, yeah. But when they whip them out, there's not fucking 50 drunken, strange assholes around me when they're there, you know? And it's not like, you know, someone next to me whips out even more money. So she just goes over there, you know? And I'm not... yeah, like I don't pay for it. I'm not into like waitresses flirting with me for a tip. You know, I just find it kind of like weird because like I was with my friend Jordan and he was just like, oh, dude, she wants my dick. I'm like, no, she wants a tip. She's like, yeah, she'll get the tip. I'm like, no. You're
Wait, hang on. I want to interject there. So we were talking about weaponized psychology last time, right?
Yeah.
So you're consciously aware when a waitress is flirting and she just wants a tip. So you're hyper aware of this stuff.
Right? I assume every girl has an ulterior motive.
Ah, there it is. All right.
No, it's I'm just like, and maybe flirting in general, like at, you know, at the work, they're like, oh, you got a little work flirt or whatever, and I'm like, these are pointless, this is not going to go anywhere. You know, like why are you setting off certain signals and shit, you know, where I'm like, no, we're not ready to blast off, you're married, you know what I mean? Like it's just it's so annoying, it's so pointless to me. So to go to a strip club, and of course I feel the same way about prostitutes. It'd be very stupid of me if I'm like, yeah, but I will pay for that ass.
Well, tell us all about your first time with a prostitute, Vince.
I have had an experience with a prostitute. Her name was Star. Sure, that was her real name. Mm-hmm. But yeah,
it, Christian name.
Yeah, I was in Hawaii and I was with my friend Andy L, and she propositioned us both. And I'll never forget him looking to me as if, are we going to do this? And I was like, no way. I'm not doing this. But even if I was by myself, I don't pay for it. All right. And like, even if, say the stripper is like, okay, I like getting naked. They might be like, yeah, I have to get naked in front of you, you fucking loser. You can't get this shit. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. There's a certain assumptions perhaps being made on their end. I'm just not into it. It's and I don't like bars in general. I have not liked bars since I turned 30, you know? And I think I was going there anyways up until that point. Yeah, strip clubs, glitter everywhere as well.
Quick little thing there.
What about you guys?
I've been to one strip club in my life. It was awkward, but I feel like if I If I were to go to many more strip clubs, I'd get used to it pretty quick, I think. That's all I'll say about strip clubs. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, I've only been twice. One was for someone's bachelor party, and it was like a small town Wisconsin strip club, which was awkward in its own way. And then the other time was in Vegas at a conference. John McAfee, the former founder, CEO of the antivirus company McAfee, was having busloads of people shipped over to Larry Flynn's, whatever it's called.
No way.
And we're just like, okay, yeah, let's get on this bus and see what happens. And we got there, and it's then we're just like, are these women being trafficked? And then it just felt like weird and guilty, and then left. So yeah, that's pretty much my story.
Yeah. I've been to strip clubs maybe 3 times now. Two of them for bachelor parties. And what are you going to do? Just stay on the bus? No, I'm not going in. The other time, I think it was my first time, and they were like, it's a, oh shit. And it still sucks. Because we went in there, and my two friends wanted to go check it out because I guess we knew a bartender. And they're like, oh, we could get hooked up with drinks. And I go in there. It's alcohol free. There's no.
Oh, wow.
I was like, this is a fucking joke. So, yeah. And then there's something about the stripper mind. If you actually got to know a stripper, if you could unpeel the layers and really get to know a stripper. One was troubled. She was cool, but she definitely had an edge to her. One I know eventually became a stripper, and she was kind of on the, you know, like, oh shit.
There's always something damaged about these girls. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm just saying they're trying to get through college. And,
yeah. Have you dated a girl who was a stripper, or just friends, just acquaintances or whatever?
I fucked the shit out of a girl once, and years later, she became a stripper. I don't know. It's because how powerful.
Because of that experience. Of, yeah. Go on. Go on.
But I'm just saying, yeah, she was a little like, oh, shit. Because, you know, we knew each other when we were way younger. But as life went on, you heard stories, and she's a stripper now and shit. But yeah.
Oh, I forgot there was a third time. I was at it was like an after work happy hour or something, like at a normal bar, or like somebody was quitting and there was a going away thing or something. And then I was hanging out with like two other dudes, and we're like, oh, want to go to the next place? Like, okay, sure. And we get in the car, and he like goes to this, I guess it's a strip club still, but like there's like glass walls between like you and the lady, like which I don't know if that's normal or not, but like the other guy who didn't drive and I are just like, why are we here? like I had no idea that was coming. And yeah, so
it was like a normal stripper stage, but there was glass up, is what you're saying?
I'm trying to remember. I think it might have been like smaller stages and kind of like a Benihana, but instead of,
come on, Benihana,
instead of the teriyaki grill or whatever, it's a glass enclosure.
That's classy. That's how you class it up, right?
I put them under glass. I don't know if that, yeah, I don't know what's considered classier or less classy.
Vince, have you ever had a lap dance though? See, you would change your mind if you ever had a lap dance.
Oh, again, yes, but I never paid for it, and it wasn't from a professional stripper, so there you go.
Oh, let's just leave that mystery dangling out there.
And no touching. Remember.
No touchy. No touchy.
No touchy.
So I agree.
You barely, okay, here we go. Say something, man.
Well, I agree. I hate strip clubs just because they are awkward. They are awkward. It's like, what am I supposed to be looking at? Like you have this trained in your brain. You're not supposed to look, but there you are. You're in an establishment where you're supposed to look. So it's kind of like, oh, okay. I'm peeking. No, I don't need to peek. Okay. I can be totally open about this. All right. I'm just watching this lady get naked. Yes. John's doing this right now. Again, it is just super awkward. I could do without it entirely.
But then I have friends who are like, that's their thing. They always go, you know, it's just so common. It's like breathing, you know?
Like, wait a minute. You have friends where strip clubs are like breathing?
Did they say what they get out of it? Why they enjoy it? Like
titties, bro. What the, I don't know. Like I'm sure I'm coming off as like the least dude ever because I was like, oh, I don't like to, or no, I'm indifferent to dancing. And then girls are like, well, if you don't want to dance, you don't want to fuck. Cause like, isn't that the thing? Like if you could dance, you can fuck. And some girls are like, hey, I'll go to a strip club as well. You know, I'm down with it. You know, I'm like, okay, it's just, that's just not me. You know, it's weird. I don't know. I feel like, yeah, well, like
I guess now that I think about it, the guy who drove us there was either his wife met us there or was with us in the car when we went there. I completely forgot about that.
Nice. I thought you were going to say, oh, yeah, now that I think about it, there was a fourth time. And then we would keep going. And then, oh, yeah, I thought about that fifth time. Turns out I go every night.
Turns out he owns fucking strip club. Come to John's.
The eighth time was just because that place has a really good buffet.
Uh-huh. Is that an actual thing, strip club buffets?
I think so because I've heard it referenced in other media, in other like sitcoms.
Have you actually seen a buffet? Like the one I was at didn't have a buffet that I saw.
I was too busy looking at the titties, bro.
Yeah, right.
I have this one thing that did happen at a strip club that was mind-boggling. So I get in there. And there's a woman walking past with her tits out. And I spot her. I look at them. And she covers up.
Holy shit.
That was the first 2 seconds of being in a strip club. I was like, this is a weird place, man.
This is not for me. Apparently. This lady just told me that by covering her boobs.
All right. We moving on.
But yeah, going back to Parks and Rec, I talked about a couple episodes. That's the classic thing where strip club, they've got a breakfast buffet. So of course Ron Swanson, his favorite food would be breakfast food. So he's loving the strip club, man. You made me think of that. Thought I'd share. Enjoy.
Like significant other relationships, like relationships with, you know, the opposite sex or same sex, whatever, where it can be physical and stuff. I'm pretty indifferent to the idea of being with somebody. I'm very okay just being by myself. I used to be obsessed with love, the idea of love, had girlfriends, and I was like, oh yeah, I'm totally into it and would do anything for it. But nowadays I'm kind of just like, eh. So I thought I just kind of wanted to hear your guys' ideas about it since you're married. Bench, you can just shut the hell up. just kidding. No, but I thought it would be interesting to kind of hear your views on it, because as a person who doesn't feel the need or want, like if it happens, cool, whatever. But I guess I just haven't felt it in the way that you may have.
Whoa.
Give us all the good details about your wives and how you don't like them, whatever.
Big topic, man. Let's see where to begin. I've always been a guy who, I've always had girlfriends, like a steady girlfriend, and I always kind of wanted that relationship, to touch on one of your points there. As far as getting married and when, you know, boy, I feel like I'm talking to my child. Like, okay, this is my child here. do we want the birds and the bees now, Scott?
Papa Matt, please tell me.
as far as, I don't, I, was there a point in your life Scott, when you were actually looking for marriage material, was that what you were always looking for? Like, I want a girlfriend and I'm evaluating her as marriage material?
Oh, 100%. Up until probably about 27, my late 20s, I was really into the idea. And then I don't know if it was just because things hadn't worked out with the people that I was so infatuated with that I kind of just, people I would meet from then on would be like, okay, I guess we're going to date now. And then we're going to see each other and see where it goes. And then I would get bored and be like, this is fun, but it isn't.
Get bored. Would you say that was like the biggest problem? Things just got boring eventually?
Not at all. My first relationships, I adore them 100%. I speak highly on them, even though one ended with the stalker and I had to get the police involved and the court system involved. I was still very much in love with the idea of like, that was my goal. Like, she didn't work out, but maybe this next one will. But at this point in time, I don't know. It could just fall down to I haven't met the right person. But at this point, it's just kind of a indifference to me because I don't care if it does happen. But if it does, cool.
Well, I think there's a compatibility involved for sure. I don't believe in the like one in a billion stuff. I don't think that's real at all. Well, unless you're a complete asshole and you know, you need the opposite or the same as you or something. But if you're like a normal person, like one in a billion thing, I don't think is really a real thing. But you have to be compatible. And I think once you've lived with somebody for a period of time, a year or something, I think you definitely get an idea of compatibility. And if you can live with a person's faults and stuff like that. John, you've been quiet. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I'm definitely someone who's happier being in a romantic relationship than being single. And been married now for just over 16 years. And like, just part of the adventure is like, you know, I'm very different than I was 16 years ago. So is my wife, and just kind of growing and changing with each other and seeing what happens next and everything. And then just, I don't know, just like having someone that, like, not that you take for granted, but that you don't have to be worried that they're not going to be there. You know, like, there's always just that person who's there for you and stuff.
I believe love is a young man's game, man. Actually, you know what? When it comes to relationships, I was very young. Well, not, like, how old was I? But I had it in my mind where it's like, I'm really young, and the girls that would, you know, I would be dating are young as well. We're immature, you know, like I really thought that way, where I'm like, it's better to wait until 25 years old. That's what I was thinking. I was like, 25 is a good age. I don't know what made me choose that, but I was like, that's after college, that's after this and that, where you should be available emotionally, whatever, you know. So I thought that before my very first relationship, my very first girlfriend, I actually had to kind of get nudged into it, where they're like, dude, she really likes you, man. I'm like, yeah, you know, you like her? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, well, just get with it. I'm like, all right. So I did. But she was immature, believe it or not. In fact, I still hear stories of her, and yeah, I really dodged a bullet there. But I wasn't too quick to go into the next one after that, but I did, and it ended, and I'm like, that really sucks. And then here comes this girl that I've liked since I was so young. We finally got together.
Was it the librarian?
She was like 48 when we first met, and then
yeah, but you know, you're closer in age now than you were back then.
It's very true. Very true. I can reach the top shelf. So yeah, I remember getting into those, especially those first three. That's the main thing. After that third girlfriend, and that was the one I really kind of wanted to get with, regardless of maturity and shit. But that ended. And after that, I was like, well, this sucks. You know, I'm really not one to jump into something and then to another. I had this comparison because like when I was a child, you know, you have dogs and, you know, a dog dies and you're like, oh shit. And they're like, hey, let's go buy another dog. I'm like, okay, I'm still kind of mourning that last one, but all right. And then you get another dog and they eventually die or something happens. And you're like, oh, well, and they're like, how about another dog? I'm like, I don't know, you know, because I really feel, I really connect. I want to imprint, you know what I mean? Like that's what love is to me. So it's kind of like we were talking about Batman's, the many variations. And I'm like, oh, hold on. I'm still thinking about Val Kilmer. You know what I mean? It's that weird attachment where I'm like, I never took love or relationships lightly. I was really hesitant in almost all girlfriends that I've had. And now, and you know, I ended a 10-year pretty bad relationship. And because of that, I have not had one since. It's been like 8 years ago now. And I'm not in a rush to get in another one. I do want one, but yeah, there's no rush really.
Well, you know, 100% of marriages end in divorce or death. So, you know, you got that to look forward to.
So the next three could end up dying on you. So,
oh shit. You want to get dark? Four of my exes are passed away. Isn't that weird?
Holy smokes. That is weird. That's I had crazy. one pass away and I thought they was in shambles. I was like, I don't understand this. The memories are just mine now.
Yeah.
You had right? four of them?
That's yeah. wild. Well, okay. Well, so I do have to say also there's official girlfriends and then there's something on the side. But eventually you guys hang out so much, you might as well have been dating. You know what I mean? Like we just never made it official and shit like that. So there's those as well. But it is very bizarre. And part of me, there was a phase where I'm like, I'm cursed. I know it. I have a deadly dick. You know? Deadly dick.
New band name. To be fair, Vince did hang out at meth labs a lot. Not all his women. Don't put two and two together. To get dark. Good but discussion. Yeah. Good discussion. I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's no right or wrong answer to this discussion at all. It's just how you feel, right? Like both of you guys are not in any, I mean, Vince and Scott are not in any rush to get another girlfriend. And John and I found the right person. I've been married for 11 years now, going to be 12. And it's just, yeah, there is a comfort. There is a compatibility. And I like that. And I like that.
Scott, you just got to realize that the answer was in front of you the whole time.
It's you.
Yes.
Well, yeah. My topic is brat stands. And they're amazing for many reasons. First of all, brats.
So would delicious. You say this is a love? But
also, it might be... Yeah, it's a lot of infatuation. It wouldn't go that far. This is a love of brat stands. But another big thing is it's also just the changing of the seasons. Once you start seeing the brat stands out, it's finally summer. Winter in Wisconsin is miserable. So brat stands are – it's kind of like seeing the first robin of the year. Like, ooh, is that a brat stand?
So do they still put up a brat stand in front of was it Festival Foods?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like when you see a exactly. robin pulling a brat yeah. out of the ground.
Yes. Yes.
Those are raw, of course.
You want to eat the brat.
The late bird gets the cooked brat. Go on, though, with relish, James.
Yeah, peel back the layers of this onion.
Well, I was curious, Dave, do they have like food stands in front of stores like in Oklahoma? Is this just a Wisconsin thing?
They don't
want brats.
They definitely do not have brat stands. Down in Oklahoma, you can generally get like a taco truck with Mexican food, or mainly the big one you'll see is the barbecue truck. So it's everywhere has a barbecue truck with, you know, pulled pork and brisket, and then usually like mashed potato and mac and cheese. And then you can get like the brisket on top of the potato, stuff like that.
Coleslaw? But just
a good old fashioned, yeah, you get a coleslaw. The thing is, as I always thought with barbecue, I always thought it came with cornbread, but some places don't have cornbread, and I just don't understand it. How can you not serve cornbread with your barbecue?
Cornbread sucks. That's
why. Oh,
hey, hey,
hey. Fired.
This guy's in Illinois.
I was gonna say. Listen, I didn't even know what a brat stand was. I was like, brat stand. Let me. This isn't real. And then it was. I do love brats, spicy brats in particular. But yeah, I'd never heard of a brat stand.
You never experienced a brat stand.
Never once, James.
You haven't lived.
Now I hear this. They're so
See,
good.
I agree with Scott. See, I'm not a huge brat fan. I mean, brats are good, but I'll go for an Italian sausage, a chorizo before I'll go for
No.
Go on.
That's blasphemy.
What are you talking about?
Oh, God. Okay. So, James, you've been to Rockfest. They have, in the VIP area, they have, like, their own little brat stand where you can get brats and fries. And if you're VIP tickets holders, you get a brat for free or however many you can eat. So every year they have it, and every day, 3 days in a row, I went to the brat stand, and they were out every single day. They're like, sorry, we're out of brats, but we do have Italian sausage.
They're so much more flavorful. Come on.
I'm like, oh, okay, I'll give it a try. No, it was terrible.
Should stop that stupid fucking deal if they're running out of brats all the time.
I know. It's bullshit. I think it's the worst brat stand there is the one at Rockfest.
Because it's successful in selling its brats?
Well, no, because they probably only have like 100 of them or something, you know? They need to pump up those numbers. This is a neat, if you're going to have a brat scene, you got to have enough quantity.
All right, here's a controversial question. Do you fill the brats and then put them in the beer? Or do you like par cook them in the beer and then finish them on the grill?
Oh, okay. So my wife, she boils brats. She always insists on this. I think that's what her mother did. And she doesn't even boil them in beer. Like, it's just water.
Okay.
We've never had beer boiled brats.
Okay. Well,
but then that doesn't even enter
the conversation.
But then I put it onto the grill afterwards. See, my thing is just take it raw. I don't even boil it. Just throw it right onto the grill. Just get the grill flavor, you know, going through the whole brat.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the whole point of what I said is getting the beer flavor into it, not the act of boiling it.
What I'm saying is my wife is wrong.
Yeah. What about you other aficionados of brats? Is there beer involved?
There's no wrong way to do it. Like, you can boil it in water. You can boil it in beer if you want, but I've found out that it's better to just chug a beer rather than waste a beer pouring it in water.
I agree.
Slam a beer.
I was going to say, I'm usually drinking or you beer can, with it.
I have a shelf. I have a shelf in my cupboard that is filled with beer that has been left at my house by other people. You know, just random skanky beers that I'll never drink, and that is my brat beer.
So, which way do you do it?
What's that?
Which way do you do it? Do you cook the beer first and then finish them on the grill, or the other way around?
Correct. Yep. No, two cans of beer, cut up an onion, boil them up, and then you throw them on the grill.
Two cans of beer. Wow. Is it always two cans?
Well, you got like a 12-pack of brats. One can is not even to cover them. You got to cover the brats to boil them.
Okay.
So, James, what are you putting on your brat? You got the onions, you said. Yeah, brown mustard, spicy mustard.
No, ketchup. The onions are just for the boiling, and then you throw onions out because they're disgusting.
Ah, I love this guy.
So,
oh my god.
I don't think we've talked about onions on this podcast.
So then just did.
Grilled onions and meat are amazing. I will have grilled onions with literally any kind of meat.
I guess no one else shares that.
No, I love onions. I think you like grilled onions for burgers, raw onions for brats.
Fucking gross.
Whoa.
I'm okay with like I used to hate them, but I cannot do raw onions at all. No thanks. If they're cooked into something, I'm fine with it.
Not even in like a Subway sandwich or something like that? Like a sub?
No! I just
I'm the same way. I have to have grilled onions. Raw onions, no thanks. I don't want to. I'll eat it, but I don't like it. I don't like any part of it unless it's cooked.
That chunky onion, like you bite in and you get that big chunky onion with that big onion burst of flavor. It's fucking gross. I hate it.
I was with you until you said the word gross.
So John, this whole brat and barbecue discussion, this must have your mouth watering, eh?
Oh yeah. Sweet. You know, I'm just picturing everything with, you know, tofu and damn.
I was almost gonna say coleslaw, kind of the only thing John can eat, but no, you can't eat coleslaw either. Sorry.
Well, it depends on what kind of mayo they use, but
I would bet a brat stand.
Oh yeah, no, I wouldn't trust it.
You know, I like a good brat, but just that one brat, and I'm kind of done. I think I've mentioned this before, how I get fuller quicker. So that's weird because back when I was fucking skinny, I could just mow them down. Now that I'm fat as fuck, it's only like maybe one brat, maybe a half of a next brat. So the whole brat stand thing, yeah, it's kind of fun, I guess. You could say like, oh, Redbox is fun because you get a DVD out of it, but it's just like one brat.
I like that comparison. Yeah, there. So you somebody mentioned festival. So yeah, we have a brat stand outside a festival pretty much every day. And I guess I got to say, I've never stopped at a brat stand before, although I enjoy the smell, but I do enjoy brats.
Do you just lurk around? Just
yeah, I'll hang out there like all fucking day.
Like at festival, what I've done when I lived in Eau Claire is I've done my grocery shopping, bought, you know, $120 worth of groceries, put it all in my truck. And then I just walk up to the brat stand and I'm like, well, why would I go home and cook this food if they're just cooking food right here? Yeah. And then, you know, I get two brats and a can of Coke. Perfect Saturday.
And like, that's the thing about something like festival or any pretty much any grocery store these days, bigger ones, is that they've got like delis, full service delis, and they've got all these various things you can just get ready made and ready to go. So why the hell would I need to cook? I'll go to the grocery store and get ready made stuff.
And why go home to your wife? I mean, she's just going to fuck up the brat.
She fucks up a lot of stuff.
Oh, man. So are we ready to...
Here's my life, for example.
She's never heard this podcast. We're okay.
What do you do Tuesday nights? Tell me.